Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Please will you open your words to us, your written word, by your living word. May it be powerful to us. We pray in Jesus' name. So this is the second in a series of four sermons that we are doing about the Holy Spirit. Phil preached last week about the Holy Spirit coming in power at Pentecost, and this week we'll be looking at the Holy Spirit coming to heal. Then we will be looking next week at the Holy Spirit coming with words, and finally the fourth session will be that he comes to be received. And the challenge to you and me is to receive the Holy Spirit as he wants to come into our lives, and then as he wants to work through our lives. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke at 9 o'clock on the Fruitfulness on the Frontline series about the fruit of the Spirit and God enabling you and I to do acts of tender loving kindness and to give words of tender loving kindness. Then I showed a little video which just demonstrated really a wonderful act of kindness. I'm not going to show you the video, but I'll show you a couple of stills from it. It's taken from the Barcelona Grand Prix. Is anybody a Grand Prix follower? Well, that's three of us. Okay, I'll be glued to my set this evening to see the Canadian Grand Prix. But at this particular Grand Prix, I'm pleased to see that Lewis won. Okay, so he was very, very happy. But right near the beginning of the race, there was an incident where Kimi Raikkonen was driven off the track. And this little boy had come all the way from France with his mum and dad to see his hero, Kimi Raikkonen. And he was not very happy when that incident happened. In fact, I think it was on the first corner. So he burst into tears, and this was shown on the television screens. And somebody in the Mega Books Ferrari pit saw it. And whether he was moved with compassion or whether he wanted the publicity, well, I'll leave that to you. But I think it was a wonderful act of tender loving kindness, because they went out and found him and his parents and invited him back to the pit. And by that time, Kimi had calmed down a little bit and got himself dressed in his Ferrari gear. And he gave the little boy a Ferrari hat. And he spent the rest of the race, in the Ferrari pit. So that little boy's day of disaster was transformed by a loving kindness of act into the greatest day of his life. Now, what happened in our reading today was an act of tender loving kindness, but of the double plus variety. It was far more, wasn't it, than that little boy's act, or the act to the little boy. So what we're going to do is we're going to see how that man who had been crippled from birth was changed by an act of tender loving kindness, an exercise of faith, and it resulted in praise to the living God. So first of all, this was certainly an act of tender loving kindness. The apostles were on their way to pray in the temple courts, as they did each day at 3 o'clock and possibly two other times in each day. I just wonder how many times they had done this in the last few weeks. I wonder, in fact, if they'd walked past this man. We'll call him Ben, shall we? Okay, I wonder if they'd walked past Ben many times. Maybe they'd even given him their small change, because he was totally reliant upon people to give him money to get him through the next few days. He'd never walked. And on this day, as usual, as Peter and John walked past, he asked them for money. And the compassion of the Lord moved in Peter's heart and prompted him through the Holy Spirit. "Look at us," he said, just making sure that Ben's attention was completely on them and he wasn't distracted by anything else that was going on. Silver and gold I don't have. And if the man's face fell. But what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Now notice, there's a double imperative there. Two commands. Look at us and walk. You know, the Holy Spirit sometimes works like this, doesn't he? He prompts us to do something which is totally beyond our experience and totally out of our comfort zone. Go and speak to that man. Go and visit that older lady. Give something to that young couple. But as he prompts us, he also equips us and enables us to do what he is asking us to do. Peter and the apostles were still fresh from the day of Pentecost when they had first experienced the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and Peter had spoken in that wonderful way, resulting in 3,000 people becoming Christians. But this was something new. Yes, they'd been there when Jesus had healed people. Maybe they'd even been involved in the healing, but Jesus wasn't around now. Yet Peter doesn't seem to hesitate. He offers the man his hand, helps him to stand for the first time in his life. What must Ben have felt like? Goodness me. And as Ben rises, the Holy Spirit brings strength and healing to the muscles, to the nerves, to the sinews, and his legs and his ankles became whole, enabling him to ease to his feet and then to begin to walk. But the walk didn't last very long because he realized what had happened. He not only walked, but he jumped and he praised God. Just imagine that happening. You're born lame. You have to be carried everywhere. And then in 2 minutes, your life is completely changed and you can leap for joy and praise God. Now, not only was this incident an act of tender loving care, double plus, but it involved an act of faith. In fact, it involved two acts of faith. If we look at Jesus' healing ministry, there was always faith involved. Because, of course, he, God the Son, lived in faith. He had complete confidence in what he was going to do. But usually there was faith from another person. Often the person who was going to be healed, although it was sometimes a friend or another person who was going to bring his friend, he hoped, to be healed. So, for example, blind Bartimaeus shouted out from the crowd. And Jesus said, "What do you want?" "I want to see," he said. The woman who touched his cloak came with faith that if she could just get near enough to him and touched him, her issue of blood would be healed. The 10 lepers shouted out, "Lord, heal us." The centurion sent messengers, "Come and see my servant. I got faith that you can give a command and he will be healed." Jairus' daughter was healed because Jairus had faith to come to Jesus. And so many more healed by Jesus' touch or word, working in different ways in the power of the Holy Spirit through the actions of the Son. Sometimes there seemed to be a lack of faith. Do you remember the man who brought his son? We read about him in Mark and chapter 9. I'll just read you a little bit of that story, Mark 9 and verse 21. So they brought the boy. When the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered, "it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Jesus commanded the deaf and the mute spirit, and it came out of the boy, and the boy was healed. I wonder if sometimes you and I are in that same position. Lord, I do believe a little bit. Help me overcome my unbelief. Give me more faith to be able to step out and to act in your name with your power. I wonder if Peter was at that halfway stage, or whether he was brimming with the confidence which comes when the Holy Spirit implants the gift of faith within us. David Pitches has written a wonderful book called Come Holy Spirit. And in this book he writes about each of the miraculous gifts of the Spirit, which Paul enumerates in 1 Corinthians and 12. So he talks about the gift of faith. He said, this gift is a supernatural surge of confidence. Isn't that a great description? This gift is a supernatural surge of confidence from the Spirit of God, which arises within a person faced with a specific situation or need, whereby that person receives a transrational certainty, notice that word, transrational certainty, an assurance that God is about to act through a word or action. He says, it's both the irresistible knowledge of God's intervention at a certain point and the authority to effect his intervention through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to read that again, I'll leave the book there, okay? But what he says is that it's a supernatural surge of confidence. And Peter doesn't seem to have hesitated, does he? He grasps the man's hand, lifts him up, and his limbs are strengthened. The man himself seems to have responded, whether it was in bewilderment or faith, we shall never know. But he rose, he walked, he jumped, and he praised God for his healing. And of course, the acts of the Holy Spirit often result in wonder and amazement and praise. God working through a particular occasion to help a particular person at a particular time. And that's what happened here. A wonderful event, a healing of a man who had never walked. You can read more about it in here. This is a great book that's got so many examples of God working in power and particularly in healing. This man was certainly on fire for God now, wasn't he? He bounded into the temple courts and the onlookers were aghast. Could it possibly be Ben, who was usually thrusting his arms bald into their faces as they entered the temple? It couldn't be, but it was. And they were filled with wonder and praise. And that means that they were surprised double plus. Maybe Ben led them in praising God. I wonder how Peter and the other apostles felt. I'm sure they were praising God too. But they didn't get much time to consider what had happened, because the next few verses tell us that the word of the miracle spread. And they were soon surrounded by people. And the Holy Spirit nudged Peter again. Time for the next sermon, Peter. And he was off. He spoke, but this time the Jewish authorities acted. They arrested the apostles, but not before many more people had responded to their message of love and forgiveness and new life through Jesus Christ. What happened next? You will have to wait until next week to find out. Or alternatively, you could read Acts 4 and 5 and 6 and then right on through the Acts of the Apostles as we see the Holy Spirit at work in power through God's ordinary people. And the wonderful thing is that he is still working through ordinary people, through you and through me. Sadly, some individual Christians and even some churches don't believe that the visible acts and the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, they believe that they died out at the end of the apostolic age. They don't believe that they are present with us today. We do believe they are with us, don't we? Good, that's four of us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit and Jesus working through ordinary people like you and me still happen in 21st century, so-called post-Christian, sceptical Britain. In this church, we regularly pray for people to be healed, for people to be comforted, for people to be blessed. Sometimes something miraculous happens. Do talk to Janet Jackson when she comes back from a short holiday. Sometimes the person is refreshed and greatly encouraged by what God says or does to them. Sometimes it's not obvious that anything has happened. But we believe that God continues to work in that people, in that person, and more prayer and more loving care may be necessary. Sometimes, sadly for us, the person does not get better. But we believe that if a person has given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, then he is with them, and they are with him forever and ever and ever, with no end. And Jesus spells out in the last book in the Bible, in that wonderful vision to John on Patmos, there will be no more death, or mourning, or tears, or crying, or pain. Hallelujah. And the challenge for you and me is that having received Christ as our Lord and as our Saviour, we need to know him in our lives day by day by day. We need to ask him to keep filling us with his love and with his power, to enable us to step out in faith with the same love and power for others that he has given to us. In acts of TLK, tender loving kindness, in signs and healings and miracles, that the kingdom of God might increase and that praise might be given to the living God. Just listen to the encouragement that Jesus gave to his disciples on his last evening here on earth as a man, taken from John 14. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." That's pretty good, isn't it? And it's for you, and it's for me. Hallelujah. So we have talked about the Holy Spirit, we've heard about the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit now to come and to minister among us. It may be that one or two of us are not particularly well at the moment, or some of us are quite ill. It may be that we know somebody who is unwell. What I would like you to do is to put your hand up, and we will ask the people around you to pray with you or for your friend. There will be ministry later in the chapel here, but if you would like to be touched by the Holy Spirit now in healing, in compassion, in encouragement, please would you just put your hand up and we'll ask people to cluster around you. Okay? Two, three. Okay, please would people move? There's one, two, three, four I can see at the moment. If anybody else would like prayer, please just put your hand up. Another one here. Elizabeth at the front. Please just ask the person what they would like, what they feel they need from the Holy Spirit. Ask them if they mind if you put your hands upon them, and then just pray that the Holy Spirit will come in power and touch the person. Please, if the person next to you just needs prayer, allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in that as well.